That's two songs live from Jackson Emmer from the live stream event that he did on May 1st. And I think we have Jackson with us. Are you there, Jackson?
Hi, Luke. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great.
Boy, look at that.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. I take a couple of months off, and I totally forget what I have to do to get a phone call on the air. Go figure.
That seems pretty reasonable, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm glad we're here now.
So that song, the first song that we played, Working on Change, is that a new song?
Yeah, it's hot off the press. I think I wrote it like the week before I played it at Steve's. So yeah, it's still in its little baby song phase, and I'm just getting to know it.
So you road test things for a while? You play them live to see what works and what doesn't?
Yeah, I used to play them live. Nice to have a live stream. Like, one of the things I love most about playing for people is you get immediate feedback on a song or what you're doing, and I've been really missing that lately because I've been writing a lot of new songs, and I can play them for people on a live stream, but I don't get the same kind of immediate feedback. That was a debut, and I'm happy that I shared it. I really love that song already.
Well, you know,
I could get to know it.
I almost was expecting to see a sign on your guitar that says, "This machine kills fascists."
Oh, well, yeah, that's the gist of the song. Yeah.
Yeah, you're channeling your inner Woody Guthrie on that tune.
I am. I mean, I feel like, how can you be alive right now and not feel like you have something to say about all this? We live in a pretty, like, interesting and increasingly interesting and divisive time. And I think that artists have a responsibility to talk about that, or at least examine it. So I often steer clear of that stuff, but I couldn't help myself with that song.
Well, you know, it's interesting that these times brought that out of you, because I think you're right. It seems to be a time where we all have to step up and speak our piece, doesn't it?
Yeah, and hopefully do a lot of listening too, which I think I see far too little of happening. Just a lot of, like, shouting.
Yeah. Well, there's a really interesting crux in that, in the middle of that song, Working on Change, where you talk about, so righteous got to thinking that he'd be the one to count, but power is a cycle which he had not figured out. So righteous took the scepter and held on far too tight, and soon became the very thing he'd sworn himself to fight.
Yeah, you nailed the lyrics. That's it.
Yeah, well, you know, that it seems like that's the crux of the song. Even with good intentions, you have to step apart from, like you're saying there, you know, you just have to step away from the idea that basically you're trying to get rid of your ego, dude. Isn't that it? Isn't that what's happening there?
Yeah, I mean, there's a real incredible part of our ego that is like, whatever I think is definitely the best and right idea. And once that kind of voice is too loud inside yourself and you start shutting down other people based on that assumption, you're not really having a conversation or coming to a collective idea. So that's obviously anti-democratic. And I think that impulse is really in our nature. You know, I have that as much as anybody, but it's not helpful for the long game, especially if we're trying to build a better future. So, I don't know. There's so much to say about all this stuff, and I'm maybe not the best one to say it, but I tried to put some of it in a song.
Well, I've been telling people that these are the days, these are great days for folk singers and for political cartoonists.
Definitely for political cartoonists. I don't know if people, I don't know what people's reference for folk singer is anymore. I was taking an online class at Berklee, the School of Music, and I'm taking a class in, like, pop vocal production. And we talk a lot about, like, just the changes that happen in people's taste in music and in their in the collective industry over time. And this professor, he's worked with like Jay-Z and Mary J. Blige and Boyz II Men, like just huge hip-hop and R&B artists, and a bunch of other people. But he's like, man, people used to like have a message. Like people used to, if there was something wrong, like artists spoke up about it. And now it's just sugar candy dance, you know, stuff like everything's rosy, put some reverb on it. And I think that kind of escapism is really important. Like you can't be a vanguard for change every second of the day. And people can't listen to that every second of the day. But, you know, you are a human being and you do have a responsibility to speak your mind and make an effort to advance change, especially if you're an artist.
Well, you know, I was going to ask you, I watched the performance and that you did at Steve's Guitars. Boy, that was just 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? Time is zipping by, isn't it?
Time is doing very strange things.
Yeah. But you mentioned during that performance that you have a new album coming and you have a plan for it. I wonder if you could share that with our audience.
Well, sure. I can tell you guys the gist of it. The plan is pretty loose because right now the plan is I've been sending it out to labels and distributors because I would like to work with somebody on it rather than doing it all myself. And I've gotten some no's back, which is kind of the second best thing to a yes. I mean, I'll take a no versus like a, you know, no response any day.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I've gotten some no's, and I'm waiting to hear back from a few people that I'm sort of still in conversation with. So it might get picked up by a bigger distributor or label, and that would be really cool for me. If it doesn't, I will just make a plan and release the album on my own later this summer.
Okay. Well, I suppose like most musicians these days, you don't have any live gigs. What's your plan or what's your idea for coming through that on the other side? Are you going to hit the road again? Do you miss it?
I miss playing for people. I don't miss traveling as much as I maybe thought that I would. I've really been loving being at home. I've been gardening. I get to actually spend time with my wife, Olivia. And you know, I'm like cooking and exercising, which is not something you get to do when you're traveling so much. So I'm really enjoying that, but I'm also missing playing for people and engaging and sharing my music. That is a big part of my life and has been for years. So it's weird to have that void there. But as far as like moving forward goes, you know, I think the world is going to be changed for a long time. And we have to just adapt to that and make the most of it and get creative. And I'm sure that live music will come back again because pandemics have come and gone numerous times. And the government has had to sort of clamp down on citizens numerous times in this way, in these ways. So I know that, like, historically, this thing comes and goes. So I'm not worried that live music is over forever. But it might be over for a year or two, and that would be a drag, but I'm going to just find other ways to share my music.
Huh. I've often thought that music might be a way to heal that apparently unbridgeable partisan divide in our country right now, because everybody likes live music, don't they?
Everybody does. It's crazy. Live music, I mean, like my shows and other artist shows, are the only places where I see, I think, literally every kind of person hanging out. Like, I have, like, young hipsters. I have, like, poppy sort of teenagers. And then, you know, like, rednecks and crunchy hippies, like, of every age. And not at every single concert. Depends on where you go. But, like, as I travel around the country, I see everybody. And it's stunning. I'm like, I love that. I love that so much. But you don't see that kind of crowd show up for other events, you know, at least that kind of diverse crowd. So
yeah.
Music's very powerful. People know that. People abuse that power. People discredit that power. But it's really something special. And that's not lost on me.
Huh. Well, Jackson Emmer, I hope that, I ran across the last known photo of Jackson Emmer. Was that your first CD?
That was my first, full-length record, Last Known Photograph of Jackson Emmer.
Well, the difference between that one and Jukebox, which I guess was your second, was, exponential. I mean, it was just head and shoulders above what you've done before. So I'm hoping that this new one is the same.
Thank you. Well, yeah, I am. I'm really excited to get it released. I really stand by it. I think it sounds great. And the musicians that I had playing on it were all, I went to Nashville to make the album. So
They're
all just like first class players who really supported me and the songs. And I think brought things into a new kind of territory. So I'm really excited to share it. And yeah. As soon as I can, I will get it to you and everybody.
Oh, that's good. And once that happens, let's get you on again and sort of talk in a deeper way about it, because it sounds very promising based on what I heard at the Steve's Guitars program.
Oh, well, thank you. I really appreciate you being so supportive and engaged with my music. Over all these years, you're such a great supporter of, like, local music, but also national artists, and it means a lot to me, and we're lucky to have you here. So, thanks.
Well, thanks, Jackson. I want to go out with another tune from that performance at Steve's 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to let you choose what to play. I've got My Love for You, Texas, Dreamers and Fools, or the Job Interview Song. Which one do you want people to hear?
Let's do Dreamers and Fools.
All right.
Because it's nice, and it's a lullaby, and it's a nice sort of chill out for Friday evening.
That sounds good. Hey, Jackson, thanks for calling in, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks for having me, Luke. Stay well, and thank you.